This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Allahu Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa ba'd. Today, inshallah, we continue with the attributes of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. We've talked about maybe 15 or 16 things so far. Today, we're going to talk about hadiyuhu fi ta'amulihi ma'a ahlihi wa ma'a baqi khalqillah. Today, we'll talk about how he treated his family and how he treated other creatures of God. And again, I don't put these two together because they're the same. I put them together just because I poorly planned this and I planned for 30 sessions and I only have 21. So I have to kind of combine a couple of them together. So it's really random and it's not, there's really no pattern to it. So we'll talk about those two together, inshallah, within the time. Inshallah, we'll stick to the time. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was definitely a family man. And I don't think anyone has succeeded in instilling the family values in a nation as much as the Prophet ﷺ was able to do that within his ummah. And with all of our faults and our problems, we are definitely an ummah that still sees the value of family. And we emphasize that quite a lot. And we'll go to extreme measures to hold on to the family and to keep it together. At least we used to. And yani, if we are stopping, if we're not doing that as well as we used to, then it's definitely something worthy of contemplation and revision. Because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that's what he taught us. The unit is the family. I'm going to give you some examples of how he was with his family alayhi salatu wasalam. Tarwi Sayyida Aisha fil hadithi anda Ahmad al-Musnad that she said, I went with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam on one of his journeys, and this was early on. And he kind of stayed behind a little bit and let the army move. And he told me, okay, let's race. So we raced, and I was young, a little bit young, and I beat him. I was quicker than him. So he said, all right. And then I went with him again like a few years later. And he says, at that point, I was a little bit heavier. So he let the army go a little bit ahead, and he said, okay, let's race. So they raced, and he beat her. And he told her, hadhihi bitilk. They won one. We're even now. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when you look at the seerah of the Prophet alayhi salam, you'll find that he took his family out. He went and he did picnics and he went and spent time with them alayhi salam. He would, you know, engage in activities that would make them feel because if you think about how busy he was and how many other commitments he had alayhi salatu wasalam, it's hard to kind of even imagine that he did that. Yarwi al-Bukhari that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was once in one of the houses of his wives, and another wife sent some food in a qasa, in a container, a bowl. So he opens the door, and she had sent this food, so he took the food. Now, the wife in whose house he was staying, alayhi salatu wasalam, she hit the plate out of his hand. Of jealousy, she slammed the plate, and the plate went flying, and it broke in front of the guests, the men who were in the room. The Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, would go, and he would take another plate, and he would gather the food, and he would put it, and he would gather the pieces of the plate, and he would say, غَارَتْ أُمُّكُمْ. Your mother was a little bit jealous. Kulu, eat. Yeah, the food is still edible, so eat. So they ate, and then he commanded her, alayhi salatu wasalam, to replace the broken vase or the broken plate that she had broken, and he sent back, alayhi salatu wasalam, the replacement back to the wife who had sent it. Sallallahu alayhi wasalam didn't get upset and didn't chastise, didn't say anything. Appreciated the fact that these stuff like this happened. Sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Imam Muslim narrates to us, and this is Aisha. Aisha tells us these two stories about herself. She said, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was once with me, or in my house at night, sleeping. قَالْ فَالْتَمَسْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ فَلَمْ أَجِدْهُ. And then at night, I woke up, I didn't find him. فَتَحَسَّسْتُ. I'm like, oh, he must have left and went to the house of another wife. قَالْ فَخُمْتُ أَبْحَثُ عَنْهُ. I went to look for him. فَوَجَدْتُهُ رَاكِعًا سَاجِدًا. I found him praying in ruku' and sujood. يَقُولُ لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك أو سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك. He said, I found him praying and he's saying سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك. So I said, ألا إنك لفي شأن وإني لفي شأن آخر بأبي أنت وأمي. May Allah have mercy. Look what you're doing and look what I'm thinking about. صلى الله عليه وسلم. يقول in another narration also in Bukhari. Also in Muslim. يقال التمست النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الليل. وَضَعْتُ يَدِي فِي شَعْرِهِ. I was looking, it was dark, obviously, they didn't have, so she wasn't sure if he was there, so she put her hand, and her hand goes into his hair, عليه الصلاة والسلام. فَقَالَ جَاءَكِ شَيْطَانُكِ. The shaytan has come to you, huh? فَقَالَتْ أَمَا لَكَ شَيْطَانٌ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. What about you? You don't have a shaytan, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. فَقَالَ أَلَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَعَانَنِي عَلَيْهِ فَأَسْلَمْ. Allah has helped me and he's become Muslim. So I don't have a shaytan like you, صلى الله عليه وصحبه وسلم. يروي إمام ابن حبان يقول ألا إن نساء النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم كن يراجعنه وربما تهجره إحداهن إلى الليل. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام's wives, they would argue back with him all the time. And sometimes one of them would get upset and then maybe she wouldn't speak to him until the night. Meaning all day long she wouldn't speak to him, عليه الصلاة والسلام. And the reason the hadith says that in the collection of Ibn Hibban to the night, because عليه الصلاة والسلام would never let a disagreement go overnight. He would always make sure that whatever happened during the day or whatever disagreement that occurred or whatever dispute, it was fixed before they went to sleep, صلى الله عليه وصحبه وسلم. He would say to Aisha, أَلَا إِنِّي لَأَنِ حَدِيثِ الصَّحِيحِ إِلَا إِنِّي لَأَعْرِفُ رِضَاكِ عَنِّي وَغَضَبَكِ. I know when you're happy with me and I know when you're upset with me. فَقَالَتْ وَكَيْفَ تَعْرِفُ يَا رَسُولَهَا. And he said, how do you know? فَقَالَ إِذَا كُنْتِ رَضِيَةً عَنِّي قُلْتِ وَرَبِّي مُحَمَّدٍ. If you're happy with me, when you make an oath, you'll say وَرَبِّي مُحَمَّدٍ. وَإِن كُنْتِ غَاضِبًا, if you're upset, تَقُولِينَ وَرَبِّي إِبْرَاهِيمَ. And you make the oath by Ibrahim. You don't use my name. فَتَقُولُ صَدَقْتَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ فَإِنِّي لَا أَهْجُرُ إِلَّا اسْمَكَ. Yes, when I'm upset with you, I only leave your name, sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And I know in the story, also in the collection of Ahmad, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and Aisha were arguing, just as Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was coming to visit them. So he could hear Aisha radiallahu anha raising her voice from behind the door. Like she's yelling and she's upset about something. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is discussing with her and she's yelling. So Abu Bakr hears this, so he curses her out. Like Abu Bakr calls her a name, like it says something about her that actually is just a curse of himself. Ya bint al-kadha, he's speaking about himself obviously because he's the father. أَتَرْفَعِينَ صَوْتَكِ عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. You're raising your voice upon the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. So he enters the door and he wants to raise his hand and the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام comes and stands between Abu Bakr and Aisha and he tells him, calm down and go and come back when you're calm. So Abu Bakr would leave and the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام turned to Aisha and he would say, أَرَأَيْتِ كَيْفَ حِلْتُ بَيْنَكِ وَبَيْنَ الرَّجُلِ. You see how I protected you from the man? And he could have taken it. And Abu Bakr would come back and he'd hear the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام and Aisha laughing and their laughter was, they could hear laughter. So he said, he would knock on the door and he would say, أَدْخِلَانِي فِي سِلْمِكُمَا كَمَا أَدْخَلْتُمَانِي فِي حَرْبِكُمَا. Allow me to enter now that there is peace as you allowed me to enter when there was war. فَقَالَ صلى الله عليه وسلم, يَضْحَقْ إِدْفَعَلْنَا قَدْ فَعَلْنَا. He's laughing, he said, yes, we have, of course, you're welcome to come in. صلى الله عليه وسلم. وكان يصبر صلى الله عليه وسلم على نسائه ويأمر الصحابة بذلك. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام would show a lot of perseverance and patience when he was dealing with his family members, with his wives and with his children, and he would command the Sahaba to do the same. He would command the Sahaba to show the same thing. And I think I've barked up this tree enough times over the last couple of months and got myself in trouble. But really, what I tell you regarding stuff like this is just a reflection. I'm just mirroring for you what I see within the community from my lens or from my corner of the world. I exist in a very small part of the world, but I get to see certain things, so I have to share with you what I see. And when I see something that's happening, when I see a recurring theme or a recurring problem, it would be immature and irresponsible of me not to actually point it out to you. So when I see that my brothers don't seem to understand exactly what their role is in their household and don't understand their responsibility towards their children and their wives and don't seem to know how to deal with problems and disputes and difference of opinion and difficulties and they're giving up way too early and they're using excuses that are pitiful and pathetic and whether it's early on in their marriage or halfway through their marriage or regardless, I think it's worthy of kind of pointing that out because the moment we lose the sanctity of the family, the moment, I'm not going to speak on behalf of women because that's something they have to do on their own, and I don't know how to even address that. But I can address you, and you need to understand your role. You're a qawwam, you're responsible, you're the protector, you're the provider. And that's how he was, alayhi salatu wasalam. He understood that role, and he taught us that role, alayhi salatu wasalam. And he held on to his family, no matter how difficult it was, no matter what happened. He's Rasulullah, imagine himself. But at home, he's a husband. At home, he was a husband, just like any other husband. تقول سيدة عائشة كان رسول الله في الحديث عن البخاري كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في مهنة أهله. He was always in the service of his family. يخصف نعله يرقع ثوبه يكنس داره يعمل في بيته ما يعمل الرجال في بيوتهم. He would sweep the floor. He would fix his shoe. He would sew something into his if there was a tear in his clothing. And he would do in his house whatever men would do in their homes. تقول أم سلمة ما دخل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بيته إلا متبسما. He never entered his house without a smile. Now, we all do that, don't we? I mean, that's an easy one. All men here, I'm sure, enter their house with the biggest smile in the world. لا إله إلا الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He never entered his home without a smile on his face, عليه الصلاة والسلام. And this is just explaining how he was and what he did, and how he saw his role in his household, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Aisha tells us stories of when the Habasha were in the masjid and they were playing, and she wanted to watch. So the Prophet alaihi wasallam stood for her so that she would be able to look, and he stood for her for a very long time. And he got tired, and he would ask her, "Ya Aisha, araditi? Ya shabi'ati? Are you done? Are you happy?" She said, "No." فَيَقِفُ النَّبِيَّ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ waiting for her to finish watching the Habasha because he's holding the curtain up for her. تقول عائشة كنت إذا حطت شربت من قصعة ثم ناولتها رسول الله لأرى يشرب من في أم لا يشرب. So this is a kind of an interesting hadith because it's the Arab before Islam, as many cultures by the way, would see women during their period to be something that is impure. So they would stay away from them. They wouldn't eat with them. They wouldn't. This is the practice. So Aisha, whenever she was on her period, she would drink from a cup and then give it to the Prophet ﷺ to see if he would drink after her or not. Because so the Prophet ﷺ would take the cup and drink from exactly where she drank, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hatta yurdiha, to make her feel better about herself during that time. Because that was the cultural kind of understanding that existed before Islam. Alayhi salatu wasalam with his grandchildren, with Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn, he would go to his daughter's home and he would play with them. And he would take them out into the alley and play with them and take them into the masjid. And once the hadith, there's some dispute on its authenticity, but it's been narrated by Imam Tabarani ibn Asakir and has a reasonable chain of narration, that he was playing with them and he had put Al-Hasan on his back and he was on all four. So one of those Ansar came by in narration when Jabir came by, قَالَ مَا تَصْنَعَ رَسُولُ what are you doing? And he said, I'm playing with my grandchild. فَقَالَ نِعْمَ الْمَطِيَّةُ مَطِيَّتُكُمَا what a great ride you both have, Al-Hasan and Hussein. And he would say, عليه الصلاة والسلام, وَنِعْمَ الرَّاكِبَانِهُمَا and what good riders they are, what good horsemen they are, صلى الله عليه وسلم, وَأَبُوهُمَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُمَا and their father is better than them, رضي الله عن سيدنا علي وعليه السلام. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام would sometimes be praying and Hassan or Hussein would come and they would sit on his head during sujood. And he would wait, alayhi salatu wasalam, to the point where the Sahaba who were behind weren't sure if the Prophet, alayhi salatu, if the Salah had changed, if Salah now is a 15-minute sujood or something, because it wasn't like that yesterday. And the Prophet, alayhi salam, would wait, and then after Salah, he would say that Salah hasn't changed, it's just my grandson sat on me, and I waited for him. I didn't want to get up and have him fall over, so I waited for him, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. He would be giving a khutbah sometimes. And Al-Hasan would wander, because Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn lived close by. So he would wander into the masjid. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would come down the minbar, pick up Sayyidina Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn and carry them and give the khutbah carrying a child in his hand, alayhi salatu wasalam. Whenever Fatima, the hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim, whenever the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had, whenever Fatima visited him, alayhi salatu wasalam, قَالَ كَانَ إِذَا دَخَلَتْ فَاطِمَةَ قَامَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مِن مَكَانِهِ فَأَخَذَ بِيَدِهَا وَقَبَّلَ رَأْسَهَا وَأَجْلَسَهَا مَكَانَهُ وكان إذا دخل عليها قامت من مكانها فأخذت بيده وقبلت رأسه وأجلسته مكانها صلى الله عليه وصحبه وسلم. Whenever his daughter entered, he would get up, he would go to her, he'd take her by the hand, he'd kiss her head and have her sit exactly where she sat, where he sat. And this is obviously evidence of honoring somebody. Back in the day, if you sat someone in your spot in the house, that means you're honoring them. So the Prophet ﷺ would do this to Sayyidatina Fatima. And he would tell her, and this is like way at the beginning of Islam, when he gathered his family to do da'wah, he would say, Ya Fatima, salini min mali ma shi'ti u'tiki, walakin anqidhi nafsaki min al-nari fa inni la ughni anki min Allahi shay'a. Oh Fatima, ask me from my wealth whatever you want, I give it all to you. But I can't save you from the hellfire, you need to save yourself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever Fatima and Sayyidina Ali would have a dispute, for example, in the hadith is Ibn Majah, the Prophet ﷺ went to his daughter's house and asking for Sayyidina Ali. So Fatima said he left upset. He fought and he left upset. So the Prophet ﷺ went to look for him. So he found him sleeping right outside of the masjid on the sand or on the dust. He was sleeping, radiallahu anhu, and his forehead and head was all turab because of where he was sleeping. So the Prophet ﷺ would come wake him up and say, "Qum Aba Turab. Qum Aba Turab." Oh, yani Abu Turab, yani the guy with the sand, get up. And he would get him up, alayhi salatu wasalam, and walk him back to his house, yani to his house, and he would yani yuslih baynahu wa baynahu. He would take time to yani fix the whatever dispute and problem happened. The biggest mistake you make these days if you have a problem with your spouse is tell a family member. Like, it's suicide. You tell a father or a mother and watch. They do not, there's no help. They walk in, like, when people fight, by the way, they're looking for help. Like, when a man and a woman fight, no matter what they come and tell you, and they're upset and they're yelling, and deep down inside, what they want is help. Like, they don't want to lose their marriage. They want it, but they're upset and they're angry and they're triggered. So they come to a family member and they're very upset. Now, a rational, logical, good family member will allow that person to get it all out, and then they will bring it back to an equilibrium, and they'll go figure out a way to fix it. They don't get all triggered and upset with them, and then they ruin a marriage, and they get involved and they start pointing out the flaws of the other person. Sometimes all a mother is waiting for is for her son to say one thing about his wife, and then she opens up the cookbook. And she goes through every flaw since the day she was born until the day, and that's not, you want to ruin people's marriages and lives, especially people who have children. Be very careful. Alayhi salatu wasalam never once got involved in any of these disputes. He never said a word. He would just do islah. He would just bring them together and help them figure things out and work things out. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He shows so much perseverance to Abu Lahab because he was family. Abu Lahab, by the way, on eight different occasions during his life, alayhi salatu wasalam, with him, would verbally and physically offend him. Like Abu Lahab, there's a separate lecture just how Abu Lahab, like he went out of his way. He became creative with how he was going to harm the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Not once did he say a word alayhi salatu wasalam. Not once did he turn to his uncle and say something rude because it's his uncle. Because it was his uncle, he would never do that. It's family. It's family, and that's how he saw the value of family alayhi salatu wasalam. As for the other creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's an abundance of narrations for both. But I don't want to keep you here too long. And I'll give you an example. The Prophet ﷺ owned animals, and he named all of the animals he owned. All of them had names, everything. He had a donkey that was named Afir, and he had a camel he called a Thalab, and that camel was killed on the day of Hudaybiyah. وَعَرَفَ النَّاسُ الْحُزْنَ فِي وَجْهِهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. And they knew how upset he was when the camel was killed, because he put Uthman on the camel, and he sent him into Mecca and they killed the camel, they killed the Thalib, and it hurt him, alayhi salatu wasalam. He owned a number of different female camels, amongst them Al-Qaswa, we'll talk about in a moment, and Al-Adba, and Al-Jada, and he owned a female mule. Huh? What do you think the name of the female mule is? Huh? Duldul, that's the name. Imagine this name. This is it's a very simple, this is what he called his female mule, alayhi salatu wasalam. He named all of his animals. And he would see a cat on the shoulder of Abdurrahman ibn Sakhr al-Dawsi, and we'd call him Abu Hir, and he became Abu Huraira till this day. That's how we know him. He would see a boy with a small bird in the cage, and he would ask him how the Nughayr was doing every day. And when the Prophet ﷺ once saw a bird that was very upset because one of the Sahaba had climbed a tree, taken the two eggs because he wanted to make an omelet, and the Prophet ﷺ saw it, فَقَالَ مَنْ فَجَعَ هَذِهِ فِي وَلَدِهَا رُدُّ عَلَيْهَا وَلَدَهَا. Who took her children? Take it up again. And the Sahaba are staring, looking at each other. It's eggs. It's eggs. Like we barely have enough to eat. It's free food. And he stood there, alayhi salam, until the guy who was very confused got up on the tree and put it back again and left, because he didn't. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He didn't think it was appropriate. He once walked by and there was a donkey that had a mark. You know when they what do they call when they mark animals? Brand. So the guy had branded his donkey in the face. فَقَالَ عَلَيْهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مُسْلِمٌ فَقَالَ مَنْ وَسَمَ هَذَا فِي وَجْهِهِ. Who did this to his face? لَعَنَ اللَّهُ مَنْ فَعَلَ هَذَا. May Allah curse the person who did this. صلى الله عليه وسلم. لَعَنَ اللَّهُ. This is a heavy one. It's very heavy. But this is what he said. عليه الصلاة والسلام. He got very upset when someone mistreated an animal. The hadith عند Abu Dawood that he entered عليه الصلاة والسلام حائطا من حوائط من حائطا للأنصار. He entered one of the orchards of the Ansar. فَأَتَى إِلَيْهِ جَمَلٌ تَذْرِفُ عَيْنَاهِ, and a camel would walk up to him, and the camel, you could see tears coming down its face. فَمَسَحَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ سَرَاتَهُ وَذِفْرَهُ وَذِفْرَهُ, meaning he basically patted his behind his ears and his mane, and he came close to him, عليه الصلاة والسلام, وَكَأَنَّهُ يُكَلِّمُ, as if he's speaking to him. فَقَالَ مَنْ صَاحِبُ هَذَا الْجَمَلُ, who owns this camel? So a young boy from the Ansar said, I do, ya Rasulullah. فَقَالَ أَمَا تَتَّقِ اللَّهَ فِي هَذِهِ الْبَهِيمَةِ إِنَّهُ شَكَى إِلَيْكَ أَنَّكَ تُجِيعُهُ وَتُدْئِبُهُ. Do you not have any fearfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding your animal? He told me that you don't feed him well and you overwork him. قَالَ فَمَا عَادَ إِلَى ذَلِكَ, and he said, I'll never do it again, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He came alayhi salatu wasalam once for a man who was going to slaughter a sheep, and he had put the sheep under his foot as he was sharpening his knife, the hadith in Tabarani. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam qala, afala qabla hadha, you couldn't do this before. Aturidu an tumitaha mawtatayn, you want to kill it twice? Kill it once. Go do your thing and then come back, and while you're standing there sharpening your knife in front of it. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Hadith an an-Nasa'i, he would say, ما من رجل يقتل عصفورا فما فوقها إلا بغير حقها إلا سأله الله عنها يوم القيامة. You don't kill anything from a bird or up without the حق, without the proper حق of it, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you about it. فقالوا ما حقها, ما حقها يا رسول الله, what do we owe it? فقال أن تذبحه فتأكله أو تذبحها فتأكلها ولا تقطع برأسها فترمي به. You don't chop his head off and throw it away, but you slaughter it properly and you eat it. Yeah, you honor it by using it as sustenance. You don't just throw it away. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَنَهَا أَن تُتَّخَذَ الْبَهَائِمُ غَرَضًا, meaning he did not. People would sometimes use animals as target practice, or they would use them for game, for some type, and people still do that today. And he would say no, alayhi wa sallam. You're not allowed to do that. وَنَهَا عَن تَصْبِيرِ الْبَهَائِمِ, and he would say, never ever let an animal go hungry. And if you perform siyam, that's true. You don't do that to an animal. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had a personal relationship with animals, alayhi salatu wa sallam. I love this hadith in Bukhari about the Qaswa. Once the Qaswa, when he came to Hudaybiyah, alayhi salatu wa sallam, once he arrived at he was on the Qaswa, it stopped moving because he had come really close to Mecca. And just before the Haram, it stopped. So the Sahaba joked, خلأت القصوى. خلأت meaning it is disobeying. It's disobeying the Prophet. They're joking because they know alayhi salatu wasalam loved his animals. And when they were just giving a little bit of a poke. فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم ما خلأت القصوى وما كان ذلك لها بخلق. No, it did not disobey. And that's not its characteristics. That's not its ethics. He's talking about an animal. وما كان ذلك لها بخلق. And that's not the ethics or the morals of this animal. وإنما حبسها حابس الفيل. What stopped it was stopped the elephant many years ago, not to enter Mecca for bloodshed. صلى الله عليه وسلم. I'll end with this because we're over time now. And this story is in Maghazi al-Waqidi, where the Prophet ﷺ was on a journey. And we think this is probably on the way to Hudaybiyah, actually, because he took a different route. He didn't want to meet Khalid ibn Walid, who's coming to stop him, so he went around. So he went through mountains. So as they were going through mountains, it was very much more difficult to kind of maneuver and walk. It's hard to move people who are in ihram and with animals and weapons and stuff. It's hard. So they came, and it was a very narrow path, and he would come by a female dog who had given birth and was breastfeeding its children. So he would say, عليه الصلاة والسلام, لا تؤذوها ثم جعل جعيل بن سراقة أمامها يحميها. And the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, don't harm this animal. And he put one of the Sahaba, his name is جعيل بن سراقة, and he said, stand here and have everyone go around. Don't anyone bother this animal as it breastfeeds. It's a dog. Dogs aren't your enemies, by the way. They're not Muslim enemies. Don't overdo it when it comes to what it means to deal with animals. But that's how he was, عليه الصلاة والسلام, when he dealt with different types of animals, and he was someone who valued. I think the reason why I put them together is because alayhi salatu wasalam, it seems to me that obviously he's a family man, and he really did see the value, or he really did emphasize the value and the importance of the family, but he saw his animals as a part of his family as well. I mean, he treated his animals, alayhi salatu wasalam, as if they're a part of the family. And I think that's interesting because today we're not a community that has a lot of pets. We don't tend to do that. And we tend to mock people who do and think it's silly that they have pets and they love their pets. I don't think that's actually appropriate. I think the Prophet ﷺ loved his pets. He loved his animals. He really did value them. He took care of them. And he named them. He was upset when they were, when one of them died, and he cared for these creatures. He really did, alayhi salam. He saw them to be, they are partners on this planet. They have every right to be here, and they have every right to be respected and taken care of, just like everyone else. And I think that's important to kind of remind. I'm not encouraging you to go buy dogs or anything, but I'm explaining to you like how he saw things, alayhi salatu wasalam, and how he valued it. And I think sometimes we don't realize that in his life, alayhi salatu wasalam. I'll end with that. حبيبكم صلوا عليه صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم سبحان الله وبحمده لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين جزاكم الله خيرا وبارك الله فيكم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله.